This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I played with the idea of this segment for a couple years. And I wanted to wait until I thought Oregon State did a really nice job on the recruiting trail because I wanted it to be fixed before I talked about it. I wanted it, Oregon State to be past it, and they are. Top 50 class in the nation. Got the number one JC quarterback in the country, and we'll talk about that later in the segment. But before that, there was Gary Anderson. And I was very, very critical of Gary Anderson and the staff's recruiting. And all those guys that are involved in these particular stories are gone. They've moved on. And enough time has passed, and Coach Smith has corrected enough that I feel like it's okay to talk about. You don't feel like it? It's too soon? Too soon?
Hey, you have editorial control of this show. Well, I can't stop you.
Good. So a few of the worst stories from the Gary Anderson recruiting situation. They were set to host Savon Ahmed, who just declared for the NFL draft from Washington, Connor Weddington, and Daniel Green, who were all coming together on a visit. Their credentials were misplaced. And because those guys showed up on game day, it was hard to get a hold of the coaching staff. So collectively, the kids couldn't get a hold of the coaching staff. Security didn't have their credential, and they could not get in. So for quite some time. So Savon Ahmed, Connor Weddington, and Daniel Green were locked out. And that was those were their three big visitors of the weekend, or three of the four, were locked out of their visit for a long period of time with security arguing they didn't have clearance to get in. Nobody came to find them. Nobody answered the phone. And they were stuck for quite some time until somebody finally checked their phone and did an oh no. Then they got in and Oregon State was really focused on a JC defensive lineman. A JC defensive lineman that I'd spoken to and knew for sure they weren't going to get. And he was being given the royal treatment, and they tried to kind of get involved in some of that. Like, hey, we're here. And it was like, okay, cool. And they kind of got blown off a second time once they finally got in. Not good. None of the three ended up at Oregon State. None of the three were even interested in Oregon State for quite some time. There was an in-state wide receiver. This is story number two. There was some debate over whether he was a wide receiver or tight end. This was the last year of the Gary Anderson era, and the coaching staff was not getting along. The tight ends coach told him he was being recruited at tight end. The wide receiver coach told him he was being recruited at receiver. And the kid preferred wide receiver. And it dramatically changed the way he looked at his recruitment, whether or not he was considered a tight end or a wide receiver. But because those two coaches wouldn't speak to each other, they never got on the same page for months during his recruitment. So he would be hosted. He'd go on a visit. They'd talk to him about being a tight end by the tight ends coach. The receiver coach, pull him aside. Hey, just so you know, we'll make you a receiver. They never did get on the same page for months until Coach Smith got the job and made a point, and this is where Coach Smith's done a lot of really good stuff. Coach Smith made a point of going to the kid's high school at an appropriate time when it was a time where he was allowed to do that and clarifying the situation. But by then, the damage was done. For months, a kid was recruited and tried openly. I saw the messages. Hey, guys, am I a tight end or a receiver? Can someone give me an answer? You're a receiver. You're a tight end. Okay, well, can you guys get on the same page here? Because I need to know. You're a tight end. You're a receiver. Couldn't get a straight answer.
See, and this to me is one of the most surprising parts of the Gary Anderson era. And I think that what you're telling me right now pretty much sums it up, which is nobody was the adult in the room.
And that was a big part of it.
Yeah.
Nobody was there
to just go, look, I don't like you. You don't like me, but we got to be on the same page here. Like, we have to agree on this.
So they offered a Northwest kid, who I knew the program, I didn't know the kid. They offered a kid. This is story number three. And I watched his film and assumed it was a mistake. because there was no way the kid was a Pac-12 kid. I got in contact with his high school coach and said, is this a preferred walk-on spot? And he said, is there any way that you can, you know, like not publish this in a story about the kid? And I said, of course not. Yeah, fine. And he said, we thought he was a preferred walk-on for the Big Sky. We were hoping he'd get like Western Oregon or Eastern Oregon or Southern Oregon, and then maybe he could use that to walk on at Portland State. We're not sure what's going on. And so I ended up finding out the story was, in his highlight video, he had a run against a team that people assumed was good. His first play was like a 90-yard run against a team people thought was going to be really good at high school football that year. So it seemed like, wow, the kid just had a 90-yard run against elite program X in the Northwest. So Oregon State went and visited the kid and said, could you stand in a doorway? They took a cell phone picture of him with his shirt off standing in a doorway. And based on that run and the picture of how broad his shoulders were in the doorframe, offered him a scholarship.
Dude, no.
Yes. Confirmed every which way. And after it happened, confirmed by Oregon State's coaching staff.
Dude, why? That's like Moneyball stuff. You remember the scene in Moneyball in the beginning kid, where they're like, got a great face, got a great girlfriend kind of thing?
The kid did not pan out in any way, shape, or form at Oregon State.
Yeah, I would imagine.
These are the kinds of things when I'm like, they finished 12th and some of these things are really bad, but you can't, I don't want to dog the kid out, but enough time has passed and no one's going to know who these kids are. I can move on. Another time, this is story number 4. It might be our last story here because we're running up against it a little bit in the break. A kid announced his commitment to Oregon State. Announced his commitment. They got a 3-star defensive back from Florida. The problem, it seemed, after the kid deleted it within 10 minutes, was that he was being recruited by a position coach and a regional coach, which is how a lot of teams do it. Each coaching staff might take their own position and then also take a region. For example, because I know this is the way it worked for a while, TJ Woods at Oregon State was an O-line guy who also had a lot of Oregon kids. So potentially there would be a safety in the state of Oregon. I'm just making up stuff. I'm just saying, you know, this is an example. So TJ Woods could have the kid because he was a safety, but then the defensive backs coach would also have that kid. So multiple coaches are recruiting. The two guys couldn't decide whether or not either of them had really offered and blamed the other one that you must have offered because I never offered. Well, you must have offered because I never offered. The high school coach felt that both coaches had made clear that the kid had an offer. And both coaches just pointed the finger at each other and said, this is miscommunication on your part. This kid was maybe supposed to be a preferred walk-on. It was way too early for when preferred walk-ons happen. Preferred walk-on offers are happening now. This was like in the summer. It was way before a preferred walk-on offer would happen. So clearly he was told he had some sort of offer. And it was such a good offer for him because he wasn't that level a kid. He ended up at a small school in Florida that he jumped on it. It's like, I got an offer from a Pac-12 school? Committing. The high school coach was furious about the situation and had real players that were good that Oregon State would have loved to have. But it caused so much problem that it hurt Oregon State's influence with that school, and it kind of botched their ability to recruit at that school.
I'm betting they got that connection from Evanston Bernard, Sabby Piscatelli, you know what I mean? It was kind of Florida things. Like, that's the stuff you don't screw up. We had another guy there. Now I'm blanking on his name. He was basically from Oklahoma, and he was a pure athlete. Mm-hmm. He was nobody that you could really rely on. But, like, when you get those guys, you create the pipeline. And it's just like, it seems like Gary Anderson came in there and thought that what he was doing at Wisconsin would transfer to Oregon State, which, not to say that recruiting practices and organization at Wisconsin is lax. It's just that I bet they've been doing it a certain way for so long that it's just on autopilot.
I've never, in all the time I've done it, and all the time I've covered recruiting, I've never had that story like the Northwest kid.
That's absurd.
They watched one play of and then had him stand shirtless in a doorway. And by the way, the kid was not even He ended up his senior year. He was not all league in his league on either side of the ball. He wasn't a star player on his team. He was an average player at a below 500 team in the Northwest. It was bad. I mean, it was the weirdest offer I've ever seen. And even since then, I've had people associated with that coaching staff say, that's the weirdest offer we've ever seen. Once he got here, not good.
So what do you attribute then? Because this is some of the, I mean, these aren't disaster stories. They're stories of,
there's a couple I'm, yeah.
You're holding back.
We're holding back a little bit.
But
those,
this
are,
is severe,
those are bad.
This is severe disorganization. What is it about Mario Cristobal and what he does or any other successful program in the Pac-12 or anywhere in the country that you know of that is the antithesis of that? Where I mean, it's just like, no, we do not do it that way.
I mean, I think what they're doing now is pretty good. I think they do a good job now. Blanket recruit, you communicate, and everybody's on the same page. We don't see fake, like not fake, but we don't see miscommunication on offer from an Oregon State kid anymore. That doesn't happen anymore. They know who they like. They go after them, and you can say they wait too long to offer kids. They have a system in place. If you have a system in place that is your identity, that's progress. From what Gary was doing, I mean, Coach Smith right away knew about that kid, tight end, wide receiver, and was like, this is a nightmare. We have to fix this. And fixed it within like the first few days he'd been there. I mean, he made an effort. You look at a situation of like where I think they did advanced recruiting now, they hosted Jack Sears, the USC transfer, on a visit. He was their guy. That was the guy they wanted, right? Then they start watching updated junior college film, and I don't know this. This is, I'm putting the pieces together here. It seemed as if they pivoted before, especially given that Jack Sears ended up at San Diego State, that they liked Chance Nolan better. And as a staff went, yeah, we hosted a visit, but let's just scrap, you know, okay, we used an official visit on a kid we didn't take. That happens all the time. Let's pivot and go after Nolan. We like him better, and he's got 3 years to play three. Under the old regime, I know for a fact they had kids that they, you know, Gary fell in love with. This is my guy. And they would recruit and recruit and recruit. And clearly based on the senior film, the kid regressed or somebody else stepped up that was better. And it's like, doesn't matter. This is our guy. And it's like, he's not, nobody wants him at this level. Don't stick with that guy because you picked in a camp in June or July that was your guy. And then in pads, he looks like crap as a senior. Don't stick with that guy. Pivot. And this staff with Coach Smith, they've done a remarkable job. And Chance Nolan is the shining example of how much progress they made. They could have just stuck with Jack Sears and maybe got him and maybe not. But they kept doing the homework. They didn't stick with one guy. Let's watch all the JC film we can possibly watch, pick out the best JC guy we can find, and pursue the hell out of him. And they did, and they found that it was Chance Nolan, who at the time was not rated at all by the rankings, but then when everybody watched his senior film, he's now a four-star recruit on Rivals and the number one junior college quarterback in the country. That's advanced recruiting. That's the progress that Oregon State has shown, where this crap that happened, these four stories that are funny and they're fun to listen to, and it's like, well, whatever. Those are things that will not happen under Coach Smith because he's got it figured out. They still have to make progress. They still have to recruit top 50, top 60 kids in the or top 500, top 600 kids in the country, but they've made tremendous progress.
I mean, they got to win games. They got to win games.
If they win games, they already have, and they've been ranked back-to-back years as having top 25 facilities in the country. I don't think people realize that because everybody pays attention to Oregon, and good for Oregon. They've got great facilities. Oregon State has top 25 facilities in the country. Coach Smith has an interesting offensive game plan. Hamilcar Rashid is not going to end up being a like first round pick. But their scheme puts athletic linebackers and edge rushers in a position to put up big numbers. There's a lot to like about going to Oregon State. They're doing it right. And I'm really encouraged by what I've seen.
All right, football fans, the NFL draft is almost here, and the Free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. AUDACY. Download it today.